It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Celtics post-game show, CLNS Radio, ESPN New Hampshire, 912.50 a.m. on the dial. And tonight, actually, ESPN New Hampshire is going to pick up the World Series while everybody else who's not watching the World Series, all 10 people, are listening to the post-game show as the Celtics close out the Chicago Bulls 107-100 revenge from last week's loss to the Bulls. I'm Nick Gelso, joined tonight by Jared Scally, and first time this season, Sean Backe. Sean, what's up? I know you're sneaking peeks at the World Series.
It's a commercial right now, so we're good.
Guys, man, why can't we ever get a win that's not doesn't feel like the Celtics are pulling it right down the stretch and making us sweat?
This was a good win tonight, Nick. Obviously, Chicago's a good team. They proved it last week. They proved it the last couple games and the wins they've had against Brooklyn and Indiana. So it was going to be a fight to the end. You knew that with the talent that Chicago has. Obviously, Jimmy Butler with a huge night tonight, scoring-wise. They had great contributions from their bench. Obviously, Rajon Rondo, we know in Boston what he can do. I think this is a hard-fought win for the Celtics tonight. And, aside from the rebounding action, and of course we'll break this one down throughout the show, there's still some plenty of room for improvement. But I think this is a good win for the Celtics team early on in the season.
Scally.
I have to agree with Sean on this one. I think that obviously, had their own downs, losing Jay Crowder, which we'll get to, I'm sure, doesn't help this team the way they rallied around that and rebounded. And they fell apart in the air, and they had to kind of come back at it. It's kind of good to be able to see a team like this battle off somewhere. Obviously, we all know Jay Crowder is a guy who is defensively responsible for a team to have him shows a lot for what this team's made of. Obviously, like Sean said, good win. Hopefully, Jake's isn't too bad. But overall, obviously, good win, seeing they lost to the Bulls.
107-100, the Celtics defeat the Chicago Bulls behind strong efforts from, Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, big shots in the clutch, a huge third quarter for Amir Johnson, and as Jared was mentioning, Sean, Jay Crowder goes down with that left ankle sprain. This team cannot avoid injuries right now, 2 weeks into this young season.
Yeah, and you know what? It's what killed them last year in the playoffs. And obviously, Jay Crowder is a huge part of both their offense and their defense. He's the guy that's guarding the LeBron James and, obviously the Jimmy Butler's out there. And, you saw what happened when he went out, kind of the air went out of the building a little bit because of how important he is to this team. But these other guys stepped up. You mentioned Amir Johnson had a huge third quarter. I mean, you and I were texting back and forth during the game. The Celtics needed somebody to step up in that situation. Al Horford's out. He's on the concussion protocol. He's going to miss the next couple of games. You needed somebody to step up in this game, especially with the way Chicago beat you last week. Amir was huge. I thought Tyler Zeller, obviously starting in place of Horford, played a huge part in this game. But you had contributions all around from this team, great contributions. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas tied with Johnson for the team high with 23 points. Jimmy Butler, as luck would have it, had 23 points himself. But I see some other great performances here from the Celtics as well, and some that may not necessarily show up in the stat sheet. I thought obviously Avery Bradley had a good game, although you look at his line, 6-15 is not exactly what we're looking for from Avery Bradley, but we'll give him a pass with a little bit of a sore shoulder. But he had some big shots down
big
the stretch.
Shots. Big shots, great defense.
Amir Johnson is my guy tonight because You know, when you have Al Horford out and when you have Jay Crowder getting hurt, you know, early on in the game, they needed somebody to step up, and he was the one who did it. In his 30 minutes tonight, 9 of 11 shooting, hit 4 of 4 from beyond the arc. I mean, he's got an awkward-looking shot, man, but they went down tonight. So huge, huge performance by Amir Johnson tonight when they really, really needed it, especially because they're going to Cleveland tomorrow night and the second night of a back-to-back.
You mentioned Avery Bradley, and yes, he was kind of a little off with the shooting. He had a tough task in trying to contain a hot Jimmy Butler. And down the stretch, amazing defense in that last possession or the second-to-last possession where Butler airballed the basketball. Bradley giving it on both ends. The shooting not quite there. The defense was. One guy who struggled throughout the entire game, every time he shot the ball, it was like cringing until that last possession of the game kind of hit that runner to seal it, Marcus Smart. I know that's Jared Scally's guy. Jared, how happy are you to see Marcus back in action?
Yeah, nice. And you saw by the shooting situation. He had a good defensive game. I think he was there. He did what he was supposed to. I think the scoring will come this year. I think he's obviously going to be a better scorer when it comes to the basket. That game, you know, obviously, a jump shot to be there, and I think it will get there over time. But I do think that Marcus Smart was first game back, and I think that as we obviously rest of the next couple games, it's intriguing what he can do. But I mean,
all right. So you're listening to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio visual coverage of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics, right here, CLNS Radio, ESPN New Hampshire, Radio 912-50. Up in the Granite State, there on the terrestrial dial. This opening segment is powered by Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. With our promo code GARDEN, GARDEN, suits that normally cost $900 will cost $389 or less. That's 50% off. They'd love for you to go to their Boston showroom on Newbury Street to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit. You come out looking as sharp as Sean Backe does tonight. You can't see him, but trust me, he looks really sharp. And use the promo code GARDEN. You can also go to Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. We're going to open the call.
I've never looked so good.
Oh, man, right? I'm in my PJs, bro. It's the power of podcasting, right? So we'll open the call lines in a couple minutes, 347-215-7771. Those call lines are toll-free, and they're filling up quite quickly, Sean. So we'll open them up in just a minute. But let's take a quick break, come right back, talk a little Jay Crowder and the injury bug, and then we'll open the call lines. Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics newsfeed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the newsfeed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics newsfeed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Welcome back to the Celtics postgame show, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Nick Gelso, Sean Backe, Jared Scally, breaking down the action from TD Garden, 107-100. Celtics defeat the Bulls in a game that saw multiple people out with injuries. Al Horford, Kelly Olynyk, as we know, and Jay Crowder went down with a left ankle sprain in the, what was it, the end of the first half? And here we are, guys, we're now going on the road, back-to-back, going to Cleveland tomorrow night, and short Jay Crowder, definitely short Al Horford, most definitely short Kelly Olynyk. You got a banged-up Isaiah Thomas, a bruised-up Avery Bradley. This team is they're stumbling right now. And how important
– they got a ready-made excuse for falling short tomorrow night.
Well, and so do the Cavs, though. I mean, if well, not, you know, they could be on a hangover from the World Series, right? From losing or what? I mean, in Cleveland, what is
six,
the score
three
of the series right now? 6-3
yeah,
Cubs.
6-3 Cubs in the seventh.
So, how important is this game tomorrow night? It is an early season matchup with obviously the Eastern Conference NBA champion, the Eastern Conference perennial contenders, the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James. How important is this game tomorrow? And how much will these guys be missed? Start with John.
Well, I think, health is the most important thing. So getting through this game tomorrow night as healthy as possible with the bodies you have banged up right now, it should be in the back of Brad Stevens' mind. But going out there and competing, no matter who's on the floor, is sort of the mantra of Brad Stevens, right? You know, they fought hard last season when they had some tough injuries and ultimately came up short. But this is a good barometer for them, good litmus test to see where they're at. But it's going to be tough without Jay Crowder. You got a guy that's going to be out there helping with LeBron. Kyrie Irving, he's a tough defend. All the pieces that Cleveland have to go together. Even with some people banged up on their side as well, it's going to be tough to go into Cleveland and pull a win out of there. So they're going to compete 100%, but remaining healthy and getting some of these guys back is going to be first and foremost. It's early on in the season. You can't be going through, December and January with guys banged up and missing games. So, keeping these guys healthy early on in the season is going to be important.
And luckily, after Thursday's game in Cleveland, the Celtics then travel home to play the Nuggets, but have essentially 3 days off. So the rest will definitely do them well. I guess the worry for me is you look at a guy like Isaiah Thomas already feeling a little banged up. You know he's under 6 foot. Guys like that, they break down quick. So it's important, I think, too, to be able to, having Marcus back certainly helps in that area as well.
I don't think tomorrow matters.
34 minutes tonight.
Yeah. Well, say so, that, Jared. You don't think tomorrow matters at all?
On him.
No, I don't think it does. I don't think tomorrow is that big of a deal only because of the situation you're in with these injuries. I think if you get out healthy as way you're going in, if you don't get any more injuries, that's a win regardless. I don't think the output really matters to me. As much as, I think Stevens is going to go in, put a good game plan, and they're going to play hard. But you've got to look at what you have going in. You are overmatched going in. So I think overall, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, I think you're good. As long as you survive tomorrow night, you're good.
Completely overmatched. Yeah, I think you're right, too. I think come out looking respectable, then get the couple days off, go back to Boston, play the Nuggets and get back with it. Hopefully by that time, at least KO is maybe possibly back. You're going to know where Jay Crowder stands. And hopefully, I don't know what the concussion protocol is as far as how many games out you're required to miss. Either you guys know the protocol on that?
I don't, but I can look it up.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be great. Let's what do you say we go to the call lines, fellas? Let's open it up.
Yeah, blowing up. Let's get to them.
Let's do it. So let's start with we're going to start with Miley. Miley, what's going on, man? Celtics post game show, CLNS Radio, ESPN New Hampshire. What's up?
Not a whole lot. Just happy about the win tonight.
Happy about the win. We are as well, man. Were you holding your breath down the stretch?
Yeah, because I saw that they're starting to lose the edge closer to the end, and I was getting kind of worried.
Tell me what you thought the game was. Yeah.
Well, my thought of the game was I thought that the Celtics, they just played well all four quarters, and they kept with it, even with injuries. Even when Crowder went down, I was really worried then. So I thought they played well overall.
I'd agree, too.
Yeah,
I agree. Go ahead,
Sean. Obviously, I was going to say, down the stretch there, this game was 100 to 100 with under 2 minutes to play. And, I think at times in the past year or two, these are games that tend to slip away from the Celtics. So it was good that they buckled down. Obviously, 19 turnovers on the Chicago side helped out a little bit. The rebounding is still an issue for me. That's one area that is still standing out to me as a problem, and it's not necessarily something that they can address, particularly with a guy like Horford out. Zeller steps in. He's a decent rebounder. Amir Johnson, but they're still missing a lot of rebounds. They were out-rebounded on the offensive end, the offensive glass, big time. Chicago had 15 offensive rebounds. So, those are the kinds of things that obviously they need to work on. And that Brad Stevens is recognizing this. And, when he gets a chance to work with them in practice, now that they're in the throes of the season,
you know what, Sean,
these
let
are
me
the
stop
things they're
going to
be working
minute,
on.
Sean.
Yeah.
There's only so much Stevens could do. I mean, this has been a reoccurring problem for multiple seasons now. The Celtics lose Sully, which I'm like, goodbye, but at the same time, he's a double-double. And you bring in Horford, who in every measure of the player is a better addition than Sully was, but he's not a better rebounder. So really, you're losing rebounding there. I don't think Kelly Olynyk or Al Horford coming back is going to solve this problem. Danny's going to have to make some moves in order to rectify this, because this team can't compete without the rebounds.
No, I mean, your leading rebounders tonight, Amir Johnson had six and Jonas Derebko had six. Then you had Marcus Smart with five and Avery Bradley with five. So you've got some guys that are not necessarily, playing in the paint so much, getting all the rebounds for you, getting a lot of, long rebounds and things like that. So that's personnel, right? I mean, you have to address that with personnel. It's not scheme. You get a lot of big guys on your team that are more perimeter players, so they're not necessarily going to get offensive rebounds and tip-ins and things like that, things that you saw from Chicago getting, 15 offensive rebounds. That's a situation that that Danny Ainge hasn't necessarily addressed in the past couple of seasons as far as getting a strong rebounder in there to help out with this, because, like you said, it's been a glaring issue for them over the past couple of seasons.
Boys going into tomorrow night. I looked at the concussion protocol. There is no actual timetable. He just has to pass the levels of tests, like stationary bike and that kind of stuff. So if he can do that for tomorrow night, he can play. There's no like set time.
Only issue is that they said he wasn't traveling. I don't know on the ESPN broadcast, they said he was not traveling with the team. So
yeah,
seeing that means it's
probably said that as well.
Yeah. So regardless, he's not going to travel, but most likely he'll be back for the Celtics game against Denver on Sunday. We're getting tweeted about Jaylen Brown not playing in the second half, just to alert those listening on Twitter. I did send a text message over to locker room reporter for CLNS Radio, Jared Weiss, to get us information on Jay Crowder and Jaylen Brown. No information there as of yet. Jared, if you want to see if you can find anything online, that'd be great. I think he just didn't play. He only had 8 minutes in this game. And if you look at it, Jared, Jaylen has his minutes have dropped drastically versus the Hornets and then again tonight versus the Bulls.
Yeah, I think Jaylen Brown was in foul trouble early. I think that kept him off the floor a lot. But
yeah, he had four fouls in the
first half. He had three.
That definitely kept him off the floor for a while. And then I think Brad just kind of found something that worked, and he stuck with it. And tonight, Jaylen Brown wasn't part of that equation. And that's what's going to happen all year, I think, guys. It's going to be a matter of what's working at that point. And Jaylen was going to play, I think. But with the foul trouble, they found something that worked, and they stuck with it.
Good answer. That answers the Twitter question. Let's keep moving on the Movement Watchers toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. Again, the number is toll-free, 347-215-7771. As I'm saying that, alert comes over my phone that Jay Crowder will miss at least a week worth of action. He'll be out at least a week. So we're going to keep the call lines moving. They're brought to you by Movement Watches. While the department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out of the equation, passing on the savings directly to you, the consumer. Movement Watches are sleek, slick, fashionable, sexy, and most importantly, affordable. Starting at just $95, you can go over to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat for 15% off your first order, and you'll get free shipping. That's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Let's keep these call lines moving, and we're going to go next to Kevin Dixon. Kevin, what's going on, man? Welcome to the Celtics Post Game Show. What's up?
What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing tonight?
What's up, Kevin?
I'm a little disappointed in the rebounding. 67-44, that's terrible. We need to focus more so on closing out, you know, and the rebounds. Shooting, field goal shooting was pretty good. Three-pointers were a little bit under 35% because Bradley's shoulder, he has his shoulders messed up now, and injuries is killing us right now. Now, I heard you guys say that Crowder's going to be out for at least 2 weeks. Really going to hurt.
That's far, at least a week.
A week. Okay, that's going to really hurt us. Al Horford, basically what they're saying is the concussion, how it goes, he gets on a bike, stationary bike, he rides a bike, he's okay, then he moves on to the next level, then he comes back and play. It got to win tonight because, you know, all the guys that were out, they still end up winning the game. Isaiah is not 100%. Marcus Smart coming back, he's not shooting well. His free throws is hitting in front of the rim. I mean, I know it's the beginning of the season. I think just a little bit more concentration needs to be honed on, mm-hmm. on the little small things, especially with the free throws. I mean, the last four games, the free throws has been one of the things that's been killing us, is keeping the games close, because if we make our free throws against Chicago, regardless of how that game ends, they still have an opportunity to win that game. They miss a lot of free throws.
Bring up a good point.
So they got to. They really got to pay attention to the free throws. Amari played an excellent game with three-point shots. I mean, they didn't close that on him. He had some open shots. He made some. He needs to work on free throws. One thing I can't understand about the guys in the NBA, you're well enough to play in the NBA, but you can't make free throws. I mean, that it's called free throw. It's like you get up to the line. There's no pressure there. And you miss them. I mean, you outright. Come on, guys.
Try telling Shaq that.
but you know,
or Rondo.
The thing about it, even Rondo. You're right. The thing about it is that these guys, some of these guys, really don't care about the free throw. But that's one or two points right there that can win or lose a game. You take for example, if Chicago makes the two free throws on the other end, then the game's a different game because we're tied up again. No, they don't take free throws.
Let's not forget to mention too, Kevin. I mean, the Bulls doubled the Celtics' attempts from the free throw line. Now, I'm not blaming that on the referees because I think the Celtics, first of all,
no, Kenny
like
Maurer,
they were in the,
no, nothing.
No, I know we don't love Kenny Maurer, but it seemed like Celtics were in the bonus from like the tip off, right? Every time he committed a foul, the Bulls were going to the line, and they, you know, they. It is a big difference. The Celtics typically are not a bad free throw shooting team, and this season thus far have struggled. Tonight, 11 of 17 from the line. You mentioned rebounds, Kevin. What's the solution? No Al Horford, no Kelly Olynyk, now no Jay Crowder. What is the solution to the rebounding quandary?
I think right now, knowing that Crowder's not going to play tomorrow, Jordan Mickey needs to get some playing time. Because he's in the position where he wants to prove to the team that he should be getting some quality minutes.
Well, he got 6 minutes tonight, and he didn't do much. I mean,
and I agree with you. He didn't do much tonight, but I just think that give him some minutes to show that he can play. You know, if he's that hungry, he's going to show it. If he's not, then, you know, you take him out the game. But give him the opportunity to play. Because
we're running out of big bodies, so I don't think there's much of an option there. I mean, who's left?
Right.
Jerebko, Zeller, and Mickey, really. James Young got 40 seconds tonight.
Zeller played well. I mean, he did what he had to do.
Always ready when his number is called. Never complains
exactly.
When he doesn't play.
Exactly.
And he's a
I
good
totally
team player. Kevin, what's your closing thoughts here before we move on with the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines?
Tomorrow night's game. I'm looking at the schedule. I'm not happy about how the schedule is. We've been playing two back to backs already within six games. We're playing quality teams. So tomorrow's game. I would like for us to win. But if we don't win and we keep it close, I'm okay with that. But I just want Cleveland to know that we're here. We're competing. From the beginning to the end.
If the Celtics could be competitive with their depleted lineup at this point, if they could compete with Cleveland, I think that says quite enough at this point in the season. Kevin Dixon, man, thanks for the call in. We'll catch you on your podcast, man. Good stuff always, and we'll catch you after the Cleveland game tomorrow night. I'll be right back here with Justin Poland.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Be safe.
Good night.
Thanks, Kevin.
Again, everybody
Nick,
talking.
Following up on Kevin's discussion there about Jordan Mickey. Obviously, in spurts last year, Mickey, was out there and proved to be a good big body in the paint. With Jay Crowder out and obviously with Al Horford out, I think you kind of saw tonight how Brad Stevens is going to go more towards that small lineup, depending on the matchups, right? If you have a giant in the middle, it's going to be tough for them to be able to do, you know, play lineups like that. So maybe in those situations, you have Jordan Mickey getting a few more minutes.
I'm a big Jordan Mickey guy.
I am too. I think he can in spurts prove to be helpful on the glass. Like you said, 6 minutes tonight, not much of a contribution. You know, if he can go out there and, you know, play 10, 12 minutes and get five or six rebounds. And, you know, these are the kinds of contributions that he's going to get. And then you can start giving him a little bit more, right, if he's earning it. And Kevin alluded to that fact. He needs to be able to go out and earn it. Didn't do it tonight. If Crowder's going to be out a week, he will likely get an opportunity. You saw he was in the first half of this game tonight. So I think that kind of speaks to Brad Stevens even thinking that he wants to give him a little bit more responsibility and see – how he runs with it. So like Amir Johnson did tonight with Al Horford being out and obviously after a crowd of getting hurt, a guy like Jordan Mickey, if he gets his opportunity, is going to have to take that and run with it because, this team can't survive in long stretches without guys like Al Horford now without Jay Crowder. So if they don't have the guys like Jordan Mickey stepping up, then, you know, the prognostication of the Celtics this season is going to go from, you know, your 50 to 53 wins down back into the 40s real quick.
And Sean, before we move on, you got to think Jordan Mickey, this is a time for him to earn that playing time because he has to play, right? You know, with Al Horford and Kelly Olynyk healthy and all these guys healthy, there's not much time for him to be playing, and I'm an advocate for him. I want the guy to play. I think he can be a future down low for you guys as a team, but you got to think that this is his time to really earn some minutes long-term throughout the year.
Yeah, and I agree with that as well, Jared. I mean, you know, this is the type of team that Brad Stevens wants to put together, right? He wants to be able to have guys that can step in, you know, put pieces in here and there, go with small lineups, but also have the ability, depending on the matchups, to put somebody in there that's going to be able to play down low. Like I said earlier, you've got a lot of big guys that are more perimeter players, so they're not down, you know, in the box trying to get offensive rebounds and tip-ins and things like that. It's your guards that are down there doing that for the most part. So if you have a guy like Jordan Mickey who's more of a post player, even on offense, if you got him on the block a little bit, you know, maybe give him a little bit of responsibility down there, he can run with it and hopefully make a solid contribution to this team, you know, when they need it the most, and that's when we have these injuries. You know, we're, what, a little more than a week into the season, and you already got these nagging injuries to Thomas and Bradley, and now you have hopefully not too severe of an ankle sprain, but, you know, Jay Crowder is out again with an injury.
Yep.
So, you know, it's going to be tough to for the Celtics to be able to kind of weather the storm here if they don't have somebody like that stepping up. You know, when Olynyk comes back, they're going to be counting on him. He's a decent rebounder. You know, obviously he can shoot from the outside. You know, he needs to get the repetitions again to kind of shake his rust off. As we saw, there was plenty of it with Marcus Smart tonight. So these are the kinds of things that the Celtics are going to need as they sort of develop a rhythm this season to be able to, you know, to move forward and move past these little lulls where they have guys out and still have success. And I think they proved that tonight in the second half. You know, I mean, Isaiah Thomas said it at halftime, this game is all about runs.
Yep. So
they knew that the runs were coming. They need to be able to, you know, fight them off as much as possible and then still be able to hold off and win this type of game. And that's why I think this is such a good win for them against Chicago tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, Celtics get the win 107-100, and the Cubs are about to win the World Series. So all's right in the world, Sean, right now.
Well, the Indians just scored. It's not over yet. 6-4.
Okay, well, I won't hold my breath. Let's move on. Let's move on to the phone lines here again. Alan from Titletown Apparel, you're up here on the CLNS Radio Post Game Show. What's going on, Alan? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How we doing?
Good. Big win tonight, Alan.
Good, Alan.
What do you think
of
the game and everything?
Well, obviously, the Jay Crowder injury was absolutely just devastating. I actually might have to cry myself to sleep tonight, but they got the win, and we all know how he kind of, when he took a while to get back from his ankle injury last year, and then when he came back, he still wasn't right in the playoffs. Like, his jump shot was not going down, so let's just hope that this ankle injury isn't too severe. But as regards to what we're going to do with rebounding, tomorrow night against the Cavs, they had their hands full with Tristan Thompson. He's an absolute just savage on the offensive glass. And they had a hard time containing Meritage and Taj Gibson and these guys. So they're going to really have to rebound by committee tomorrow. It's not one guy. It's not a Jordan Mickey who has to step up or a Zeller. It's really all five guys have to box out, rebound. Jordan Mickey, by default, is going to get some playing time. And I'm not as high on him as a lot of you guys are. Everyone sees him, oh, he's a great shot blocker. He's this. I think he's a good complimentary big man who is a good, better weak side defender, weak side shot blocker. But as on the ball and just straight up just being able to take on another body one-on-one, I don't really think he's there yet. But but can we just talk about how Amir had a career third quarter, but then didn't sniff the court until like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter? Can someone please shed some light on that? I mean, I know it was a fluke quarter. That's not Amir Johnson. Sometimes you just have those games where you throw up running hook shots over your head like he did under the baseline there, and it goes in. You got to play the guy in the fourth and kind of like ride the wave a little bit. But I don't get why Brad, he sat him for so long. I mean, come on.
I mean, he looked like Ray Allen for a little while out there, Sean. Right? Right, Allen?
Let's not stretch it too far. And then you know Amir was – and then you probably know Amir was like that too, because what happened when Amir got the ball the first time in that fourth quarter? He got the ball. He, like, backed down, like, four dribbles and hucked up a shot and got fouled. And he, you know, he was like, I'm hot. As soon as I get this ball, it's going up. So he kind of had the mindset of, like, I got it going on. Brad, I guess, didn't really care and just didn't put him back into, like, it was like the game was within 4 or 5 points with 4 minutes left. So
he may have worn himself out in that third quarter, Alan, and that's what it was. He played 30 minutes in this game. He played the majority of the third quarter. That might have had something to do with that. I don't want to speculate. They had a little bit of a lead in the fourth quarter there. Maybe he wanted to rest him for the crunch time, and have him out there when they needed him towards the end when they started coming back. But, Amir played a great game tonight.
This goes back to a chronic thing with Brad Stevens. The starters get the team out to a lead, and he brings in the backups, and then you slowly see the lead just disintegrate.
It's
to a point where it's almost too late. It's like, what? Stop the freaking bleeding. It's a 16-point lead. They cut it to 9. That's it. I had enough. I think
Alan,
he's got to shorten
like
that leash.
It's almost like you can watch it happening, isn't it? Like, you see him start subbing. He starts going away, and I far be it for me to question anything Brad Stevens does, but you start to see him going away from what's working, and you're like, oh,
right.
Son of a bitch, it's going to happen again. Now, I just got to throw this out here to all three of you guys. Does anybody on this radio station right now miss Rajon Rondo?
No.
Alan?
A little bit.
Oh, come on, Sean. You just want to piss me off. Alan? Now, Alan, you say that, I want you to remember, Jay Crowder stepped on Rajon Rondo's foot tonight. Rondo is screwing us even on
–
now that he's a bully, screwing us, not even without even putting the ball in the basket.
Honestly, I don't miss – I miss – Rondo was a good player for the Celtics team that he was on with the Pierce, the KG, the Ray Allen.
So. I agree.
Because he had three players who could spot up, shoot, play pick and pop, rank him up. He could just facilitate and just pass. On this team, he would have to kind of be more of a scorer and be more of a go-to guy. That doesn't fit his forte. And you saw it in Dallas, you saw it in Sacramento, and he's going to have a little bit more leeway here because he has D-Wade, he has Bosh, he has two good other guys with him. But I'm all about a guy who wants to play for the team and is going to have a good attitude because that translates and trickles down from man one down to 13. So I'm all about Isaiah. You see his demeanor on the court. He's for the team. He's going to do what's best. And that's why I like love Jay Crowder. I love Avery Bradley. These guys are all about team, and it's not about getting 25 and 10. It's about just whatever it's going to take to win. So that's what I'm for.
Talking team, man, he may not put up all the numbers. He may not fill up the box score, but you want to talk about a team player, that's Tyler Zeller, man. When he will sit on the bench all season long, and when his number's called, he'll come in and be respectable. He never whines. He never complains. And it's kind of the epitome of this team. I mean, this edition of the Boston Celtics are essentially totally team-oriented. And I couldn't agree with you more talking about Rondo. I mean, he was the perfect point guard for that Allen, Pierce, Garnett team. I don't miss him at all. I think that no one really is surprised that I'm saying that. Anyway, Alan, give us what's going on over at Titletown Apparel, and then we're gonna hit up the call lines again, brother.
Well, first of all, I don't know if you guys saw the interview yesterday at the practice facility, but Jay had on his JT99 Jesus shirt, and they were asking him.
Perfect.
Jaylen Brown said it is cool. He likes it. It's swaggy. So we had some scores on those. We sold a lot of those yesterday, and actually, currently in the kitchen right now ironing my Sydney on Lock t-shirt I'm wearing tomorrow to Cleveland to the game. So make sure you guys follow us.
Are you going to start selling short shorts for Jaylen?
We're actually, speaking of Jaylen, so we all know Cal Draper was trying to force the nickname the poet on
yes.
Jaylen Brown. I guess I'll play
right.
with that. So
yes.
Jaylen yep. Brown shot it down like
hardcore.
Machine gun shot it down. However, I actually spoke to Draper, and he's getting a lot of crap about it. So he's actually having us make a Jaylen Brown poet shirt. We're going to make about 20 of them. We're going to give some to Draper, Jaylen Brown, and the rest of the Comcast Sports Network. And then
nice.
We're potentially going to auction off 5 through the Celtics and CMSE and donate the proceeds to charity. So stay tuned for that. That'll probably be early next week. So
that's great stuff.
Get that going
good
on.
Stuff.
But yeah, check out the website, TitleTownApparel.com. We got some good stuff. Everything's selling pretty good. And I'm sorry, ladies, all the size smalls are all gone on the Jay Crowder shirts. He went in and wiped out the whole inventory on like Monday this week. So, but
Alan, that's great stuff, man. Yeah, we'll check
all
it
right,
out. Titletown Apparel. Bring us luck. Bring the Celtics luck tomorrow in Cleveland. And we'll catch you after the game. I'll be right back here with Justin Pullen tomorrow night following the game.
Sounds good. Follow us on the gram. I'll be posting pictures and posting some stories. All right.
Good stuff. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Hey, speaking of Cleveland, LeBron James is going nuts at Progressive Field right now because the Indians just tied the game up and 6-6 in the bottom of the eighth. LeBron
Wait,
is going
Yankees
absolutely
fan?
Nuts.
Isn't he a Yankee fan?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Flip-flopper.
A freaking bandwagon. You know, I have no love left there either. Yeah. Let him go.
Oh,
let
no,
him
absolutely
go,
not.
Let him go crazy. Let him go nuts and waste all his energy tomorrow
give
night.
Him some champagne in the locker room after the game. Just wear him
Get
up.
Him drunk. You know, he cannot resist tweeting on any popular topic. So tonight, don't resist the alcohol, LeBron. Get drunk. Come into the queue tomorrow night with a hangover. Maybe the Celtics will snatch one off the Cavs. I'm with you guys, though. If they could be competitive, I think that that's a win for the Celtics to show that they have heart and they're not going to go down tomorrow night crumbling with the injuries.
But one thing about that, too, Nick, you know, we're talking about Jay Crowder obviously falling onto Rajon Rondo. What I'm wondering, and I thought this exactly when it happened, you know, you got these guys, and the league is trying to work on this a little bit as far as shooters kicking their legs out. And
mm-hmm.
I thought a little bit like that right leg was out there and you know, the left leg came down, and obviously the left one was the one that twisted. But, you know, he's kind of notorious since I've been watching him since he's been in Boston, obviously, to kick that out a little bit. And I'm wondering if that might have a little to do with some of the injuries that he has, is that he's trying to draw the call and, you know, not landing the way he needs to be landing as not to sprain his ankle. I don't know what you guys think about that, Jared or Nick. You know, maybe Jay contributed to his own injury a little bit there.
Yeah, it looked like he might have. I don't know. It looked like he just got really weird, and I don't know if he needed to do what he did, but I don't know. I think it's just a really tough loss overall. Obviously, it could be a lot worse than a week, so that's nice to hear that it probably will only be a week. But that being said, tough loss for this team, and I don't know. Moving forward, who can step up in that role short term? Who knows? Probably Marcus Smart, but we'll have to see. I'm intrigued to see what the lineup looks like tomorrow.
Yeah, the Celtics need Marcus Smart to really step up at this point. He's versatile. He could play multiple positions, and they need his defense, and they need his strength. They need him. Let's
cover LeBron.
Just don't shoot those so many threes, please.
That's a good point. Yeah, don't shoot any threes. That's a good point, though, too. I mean, Jay Crowder's usually guarding LeBron. Marcus
yep.
is probably going to fall with LeBron for a
yeah.
good portion of the game tomorrow night. The other good question, and probably Alan would have known the answer immediately, but that low ankle sprain during the playoffs last year for Crowder, was that the left? I think that was the left ankle too. So it's a re-injury of the same foot, I think.
Yeah, I believe it was.
Yeah, so that makes it kind of even worse. 107-100 Celtics defeat the Bulls at TD Garden tonight, Wednesday night. Celtics postgame show, CLNS Radio, ESPN New Hampshire, and toll-free call lines, Movement Watches. MovementWatches.com/Celtics Beat, 15% off, free shipping.
I joined the movement.
Yeah, I'm on the movement. That's MVMTWatches.com/Celtics Beat. Join us on the Movement, man. I think probably like five or six of us have all purchased Movement watches. I love mine.
Black on black, the classic metal.
So did I.
It was like $100. I mean, it was affordable, and the thing, I mean, it looks like $1,000 watch. So
it does.
I've gotten so many compliments on this thing. It's not even funny.
I know. Jared, you got to get one.
I might have to hop on the Movement, guys.
You got to get on the Movement, man. While we're at it, 347-215-7771. The Movement's toll-free tonight, and we're going to go to probably what will be our last caller of the night. That's Nick Sesento from the Boston Celtics Bleed Green Group on Facebook and also a member of our staff here at CLNS Radio. I think, Nick, you are on air with Justin and I tomorrow, correct?
Yes, sir. Unless the schedule has changed for the millionth time, I'll be on it.
Welcome to it.
Hey, I'm flexible. That's the good thing. You have flexible employees that put their heart and their soul into it. So you know you got a good one over here.
Good crew this year. We really do.
Good
Everybody
crew, definitely.
Yep.
Definitely. By the way, it was not the same ankle. It was the right ankle last year for Jay Crowder. So
well,
the left ankle.
That's why
right.
We have him on.
That's why we have the fact checker.
That was the first thing I looked up when I started calling with a minute left in the game. I was like, let me look up these other things. Also went to the Amir Johnson. That was his career Celtics high. He used to put up 20-plus point games for the Raptors, you know, every so often. But this was actually his career Celtics high between this year and I guess last year was his first season with us. His previous high was last March. He had 18 for us in a similar type of game, minus the crazy, insane 4-for-4 three-point shooting that he gave us tonight. But, yeah, from my perspective, the game, just, you know, the quick hits or the, you know, hard takes, whatever, you shoot 44% from deep or 43.8% from deep, you're going to beat a lot of teams. If you are plus 7 in the turnover margin, you're going to beat a lot of teams. But if you're minus 10 in rebounding and you shoot 64% from free throws, you're going to
be
close with a lot of it's going to be close with a lot of teams. So that's basically where it balanced out tonight, is that we had a great night shooting. Some of the players, like Marcus Smart, didn't exactly shoot all that fantastic, but then we had Amir Johnson to step in and take care of that. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that Amir is going to be able to replicate that performance ever again. No, I don't know if ever again, but I don't know if he'll be able to do that on a regular basis for us to count on him. But as far as, and I think he did compensate not just for the lack of Al Horford tonight, but also for Jay Crowder. He kind of picked up the slack for both in many ways, in many different ways. I think having both of them obviously you know, healthy would have been, you know, far better than trying to rely on a miracle game from Amir. But Amir did his job filling in.
And look at the minute crunch here. 38 minutes for Avery Bradley, injured. 36 minutes for Isaiah Thomas, banged up. 33 minutes for Marcus Smart, just coming back from an injury. Brad Stevens, really, really good at managing minutes, but he's just running out of players at this point. And it's falling on these guys who are unfortunately injury prone and really invaluable and irreplaceable right now.
And that's one of the things about this team, is that, you know, going into the season, we look at this team and we're like, well, damn, we're having a battle for our 15th spot between Ajay Hunter and, you know, James Young. And then, and, you know, we're thinking we're, you know, this deep team, but we can't, there's certain players that we just can't lose, and I think that Jay Crowder is one of them. Al Horford,
obviously, clearly,
is one of them.
Absolutely.
And having Isaiah, you know, injured or even dinged up or not, you know, at 100%, despite the fact that he still contributes anyway because he's just a complete warrior. And I don't mean that in the Golden State manner. I mean like a warrior is, you know, a very, you know, hard-nosed player. There's just certain players you can't miss, although I do think that as bad as Marcus Smart has been shooting, and as much as I don't really like some of the things that he's done, you know, in terms of his offensive production, at least from the shooting side, he does bring that grittiness and that toughness that Jay Crowder brings. So I think that having him there, you know, you got to have at least one of them on the squad, you know, healthy at a time. Otherwise, you really lose an intangible element. And on top of that, Marcus Smart also was our second leading ball distributor tonight. He had 5 assists. In addition, he had 5 rebounds. So he gives us other things as well. He's a very, aside from the fact that he can't shoot the three, he's similar in many ways, I think, to Jay Crowder in his, you know, grittiness and his toughness and in his scrappiness and the way he kind of fills up the stat sheet in multiple different ways on any given night. He might give you, 5, 6, 7 rebounds, and then another night he might give you, several assists, and then another night maybe he does catch fire from three. He kind of has a similar aspect, and I think it's good that he's coming back. If we're going to lose Crowder, that Marcus Smart is there to kind of fill in some of those minutes.
The intangible that you lose with Crowder is the emotional aspect. I think he rallies the troops. I'm not comparing him in any way, shape, or form to Kevin Garnett, but he has that kind of effect to a certain
intensity.
Extent.
It's like a mini Kevin Garnett.
It's infectious. It's infectious for sure.
Mini Kevin Garnett.
Well, he just does all the little things. He's diving for a loose ball.
He does.
He's covering the best wing player on the team, no matter who it is. Yeah. He's getting out ahead of the pack and running and on steals or turnovers. He's getting easy hoops. He can hit the three. He's got a great shot. So he's doing all those little things. I would love for Marcus Smart to be that guy to step in. But the thing that I worry about with him, he does fill up the stat sheet. And Nick mentioned, obviously, the assists and the rebounds, and those are great contributions. But the 6 turnovers is glaring to me, and he was sloppy a little bit, and I think he forced some shots. I'll give it to him. It's his first game of the season. He's going to be a little rusty. So it's good that he had those other contributions and the assists and the rebounds. But that's something that he's going to need to work on starting tomorrow night. Because if they want to have that compete level be very high against Cleveland, even if they're overmatched, he's going to have to be careful with the ball.
I think that what bothers me about Marcus Smart is that though, and I'll throw this at Jared because I know he loves him. Though I think he's amazing on defense. It always does with Marcus. But though I think he's amazing defensively, and he is a great rebounder, one of the better rebounders on the team. He hurts you offensively. Jay Crowder never hurts you offensively. Marcus Smart hurts you offensively.
I'll say Jay Crowder did last year in the playoffs. He took way too many shots.
Well, he was injured.
Yeah, okay. But he could still not have taken those shots. So that's a terrible argument. But I'll let it go.
Yeah, but wait a minute. I like that. But when you're missing Avery Bradley, you're missing one of your top scorers. There is no Al Horford. Kelly Olynyk is injured. Who's left besides Isaiah Thomas? Marcus Smart was shooting a NBA record low from the field in 3-point. So who else is left besides Jay and Isaiah? At that point, I think he was kind of forced to take the shots.
He probably was. And this year, hopefully, Terry Rozier can take some pressure off those guys because he's been playing well this year so far. And,
yep.
So I think he'll be a good step in the right direction. But I know you were talking about Marcus Smart, Nick. I think that why I like him as a player so much is because of the things that Nick was talking about, was the grit that he can bring, the defensive presence he can bring. See what he does tomorrow night. A big role for him, he's going to have to step up, probably will start, and have to be the guy who is primarily responsible for LeBron James, unless they put Avery Bradley on it, but I highly doubt it. I think that you're going to see a lot this year. Everyone talks about it. Year 3 in the NBA, I know Patrick Gilroy brings it up a lot, is a really big year for anyone as a developing player to make strides. This is his third year. It's just what it is. At this point, after this year, you're really going to understand what he is or what he isn't. I don't think he's ever going to be that guy in terms of taking the ball and putting it in the hoop from behind the arc or anything like that. But if he can give you a decent slash scoring type game, mid-range jumper consistently with the defense he brings, that's consistent enough for me. I think people put too much stock in the fact that he was the 6th pick. I get it, but he's still valuable to this team. And I think moving forward, he's going to be a big piece to what you're looking to do.
Well, and I am probably in the minority with my feelings on Marcus Smart. So I think he's kind of polarizing, but for the most part, I think most people fall into your category of seeing the value. Funny, Jared Weiss just tweeted, just interviewed Rajon Rondo in a pair of UGG slippers because tonight has been the most bizarro sports world ever.
Brady probably sent him over.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's wrap this up. Before we go, Nick Sesento, Sean, Jared, and I just kind of we're all on the same page that we want to see a competitive game tomorrow night and not necessarily putting 100% stock into the W or the win or loss. Just, we just want to see the Celtics come out and compete. Nick, where do you stand with tomorrow night's game?
Well, I think that's fantastic, and I think that's what you guys should be doing as, you know, Boston sports media, you know, talk media. It's kind of, you know, setting the bar a little bit low so that we don't get too disappointed, you know, when something happens. I mean, we're without our all-star player, with our all-star center, all-star big man Al Horford. Without him, obviously, we're not going to have Jay Crowder, who, in my opinion, physically, not necessarily athletically, but physically, he is the most comparable player to me when I look at, like, in terms of just physical build, the most comparable player to me to LeBron James. And one of my friends, the Chicago Bulls fan, who was I went to the game with when I was up in Chicago this past week, looked at Jay Crowder, and he's like, wow, he's really huge. He's really big. He looks like a football player. And I said, he was a football player. He was actually a quarterback. Just as I was about to say, you know, he's the closest player, you know, that looks like, and he said, LeBron James. He kind of has that, you know, that stature, that build, and him not being there is going to be very difficult to, you know, to hold on LeBron James. So, yeah, definitely, I don't expect a win, not when you're missing such key, you know, players as Al Horford and Jay Crowder. But if we can keep it close, like you guys have already said, I'm in 100% agreement. If we can keep it close, if we can keep it, you know, especially within, you know, single digits, maybe even, you know, get it somewhere to, you know, the last, you know, couple of possessions, maybe get it down to free throws in the end. That would be a fantastic moral victory. I think that's what we should be looking for tomorrow night. And if we happen to win, even better.
I do believe Avery Bradley hit the game winner in Cleveland last year in one of those matches.
Yes, he did. He absolutely did. One of the best games of the season.
It was. Absolutely. Sure was. That's a good way to end the show. Nick, thanks for calling in, man. And,
thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you tomorrow night. Gentlemen, any closing thoughts before we wrap this up? Jared?
Yeah, I would just say going into tomorrow night, just keep an eye on what this team does. Obviously, watch Marcus Smart. Just keep an eye on the different schemes you see from Brad Stevens, how much he gives away that you haven't seen yet this year. He's going to have to pull some new stuff out to really have a chance to win that game tomorrow night. So you diehard hoopheads out there like ourselves, keep an eye on what he's doing because you're probably going to see some new stuff tomorrow night out of Brad Stevens.
Sean,
yeah, good win
down
for the Celtics tonight. Yeah. You know, this is a team that's going to hang around. I think, you know, there was different expectations going into the season with this team, a lot of changing faces. You bring in Rondo, you bring in Lopez, you know, obviously you lose Derrick Rose. So you have a shift in Chicago, who's been, you know, a team that many thought was going to contend in the East over the past few years. But this team's going to be around, and this is a team that the Celtics may see again in the future. Obviously, they're going to play them again in the regular season, but I'm talking if the Celtics have aspirations to get into the playoffs, which they do, and get deeper into the playoffs, this is a team you may see again. So to get a win against them tonight when you're undermanned you know, when one of your better players goes down with an injury in the game, I think it's a good win for this team. So, you know, historically, the Celtics have played well on the second night of a back-to-back, so we'll take that into account as well. I agree with Jared. You just go out there and play your game and, you know, try to stay healthy and see what happens. You know, the Celtics are going to compete every single night, and it doesn't matter which guys are going to suit up and be on the floor. They're all going to work hard. So I expect them to play that way tomorrow night as well.
That's Sean Backe. He's at CLNS_Sean on Twitter. Our other host is Jared Scally, at JScalRadio18 on Twitter. I'm Nick Gelso, at CLNS_Nick on Twitter.
Follow LeBron is going nuts.
Oh, good. Wear him out. Follow the network at CLNS Radio. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSFans. Don't forget the free mobile app on iOS, or for iOS and Android. You can get this broadcast and all the broadcasts on CLNS Radio on demand by listening and searching for CLNS Radio, Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as, like I just mentioned, the CLNS Radio mobile app. Today's show is brought to you by Movement Watches. That's MVMT. I love that name. MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Get 15% off on free shipping. Don't forget audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial. And for CLNS Radio executive producer Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Pullen, I'm Nick Gelso, the founder of the network. For Sean Backey, Jared Scally, and the rest of Celtics Nation, that's my sign-off. Have a great night, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow night following Cavs and Celtics.